Last week we saw how David HaMelech was almost caught by Shaul. They got to the same mountain where David and his men were. There was only one mountain separating the two camps. And Shaul HaMelech was torn between going back to fight the Plishtim who were attacking the Jewish people or to finally seize the opportunity and catch David. It wasn't Melech yet. And he ended up listening to his advisors who told him that he has a responsibility to the Jewish people and he has to go ahead and fight off the Plishtim. And that's exactly what he did. And David and his camp managed to get away by the skin of their teeth. This week we're going to see another episode where David manages to escape Shaul, but he manages to prove to Shaul that he is truly innocent. Let's see. Suppose Perek Chavdal opens up. Vayal David Misham, Vayeshev B'metzadais En Gedi. David left that place. We said it's called Selah Machlekes, the rock of dispute. We had a few pshatim with that. And now he went to a place called En Gedi. And there, over there in En Gedi, there are these really tall mountains, citadels, if you will. And David HaMelech knew that Shaul would assume that David would be hiding in these tall mountains, because that's a great hiding place. You got these really deep caves. up in the high mountains, and Shaul would assume that's the natural place where David would hide.
I was going to bring some pictures, but
next time.
That's what someone, you know, get an idea of what En Gedi looks like,
right?
With the water and the rocks and the caves.
Right, I've been there many times.
Yeah,
it's a very nice place. But it's there's a lot of caves and rocks where it's very easy to hide. Vayikasher shav Shaul machari plishtim. When Shaul finished fighting off the plishtim, vayegidu lo leimar hine David b'midbar En Gedi. He was told that David is now hiding in the desert of En Gedi. Now, David, since he was very wise, He fooled Shaul. Instead of hiding in these tall mountains, he decided to deceive him and to hide in plain sight. He was not going to hide in a deep cave somewhere in the mountains. He was going to hide right on the main road where no one would expect him to hide. And we're going to see exactly how it played out.
You never see what's right in front of you.
Right, exactly. Shaul never expected David to be there. And that's how this whole episode folded out. Let's see. Unfolded. Let's see what happens. Vayikach Shaul shlesh esalafim ish bachor mikol Yisrael. He took 3,000 men from all the Jewish people. Vayelech levakash es David v'anosho v'alpnei tzurei hayayelim. Shaul set to go search for David on the mountains, on these citadels. Now he gathered 3,000 men, and that is because Shaul HaMelech, in the beginning, he did not go ahead and tell the Jewish people why he's gathering an army. So they assumed, as we mentioned last week, they assumed that he's gathering the army because he wants to fight them. He wants to fight the Plishtim. And then, only later on, did the army find out that he's actually planning to capture David. That's how he had such a large army of 3,000 men, because if they knew that he was planning to capture David, they would never join him. But because he was already just at battle, just now, he just finished a battle with the Plishtim, he used some of the same soldiers to go ahead and capture David. That's how he had such a large army. V'yavol gidori satsoin al aderech. He came to the place where the tzoin, the sheep were held. Aladarch, this is on the main road. Vesham Ba'ara, there was this cave on the main road. Vayav Shaul Lasechas Raglov, Vadavid Vanosh Vayar Kaseyam Ara Yeshvim. So David and his men are hiding. Remember, he's got 600 men with him. They're hiding in the depths of the cave, all the way at the end. And Shaul came to... there's a few pshatim exactly what he was planning to do. According to one pshat, He was planning to go to the bathroom, and because he had such great sneeze, he did not want anyone to come with him. So he went in by himself. Because he wanted to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
To relieve himself.
All right. I thought you said something else.
Though. Yeah.
He wanted to relieve himself.
So there's two pshatim. One pshat says that he just wanted to do meraglim. And according to that pshat, lahasech his raglav is referring to getting wet. And according to another pshat, where he was actually at a bowel movement, what it means is that he was covering his legs like a sukkah. That's why it's called lahasech his raglav, because he had such tznius, he would never reveal any part of his body. So he was always covered, even when he was going to the bathroom. So now, finally, David has a grand opportunity to capture his biggest and most fierce enemy. Shaul is on his own, he's got no soldiers protecting him, and David and his men can easily either capture him or kill him. So what happens? Vayeru atch David Elov. David's men turn to him and they say, "Hina hayoyim asher omar Hashem aleicha, hina anochi nosen es oivcha biyadecha, ve'asis lo kasher ita ve'enecha." His men are turning to him and saying, "Listen, this is the day that Hashem promised you. Hashem promised you when you were appointed to be king by Shmuel. Hashem promised you that you will be the one to capture your enemies, and He's going to put them in your hand easily. This is what Hashem was talking about. This is the time. Now is your opportunity to go ahead. You have no bigger enemy than Shaul. Shaul is your biggest enemy. He was trying to kill you at any given opportunity."
But Hashem, when Hashem said these words, he mentioned Shaul's name or not?
He didn't mention Shaul's name.
It means this is kind of general
statement. Right. It's just a general statement as enemy. But the David's men told him, "Listen, Shaul is your biggest enemy."
But Shaul never was David's enemy. I believe David was enemy to Shaul.
David didn't want to kill Shaul. He had nothing against it.
Shaul wanted to be killed because he is an enemy. But we never see Shaul as enemy for David.
Well, he tried to kill him.
Yes, but it's everyone feeling. He does not feel he is enemy. All time, he is not going to kill him.
Well, Shaul is not going.
Shaul want to kill him.
Right,
but
right.
David never.
You're right. You're right. It's a one way street.
Yeah.
It's only from the side of Shaul that he is the enemy.
It means this is statement is not clear. It's not going to work for Shaul.
Right. You're right. It's not clear that it's referring to Shaul specifically. However, it depends how you read it. The Radak points out that there's two ways to read this word. You can say, plural, referring to all your enemies, or you can read it as oyevcha, which is singular, which refers to one enemy, to one man. And so, David's men understood it to say oyevcha, which is singular, which is referring only to one man. And they said, that must be Shaul, who is the one man who is constantly trying to kill you. If you want to say that it's referring to all his enemies, then okay, maybe that can be referring to the Plishtim as well, like Arkady was saying. But if it's referring to Oyevcha, you're singular, meaning one man, who could that be other than Shaul? It's got to be Shaul. It's the only one who's was one man who's trying to kill David is Shaul. There's no one else. So they're now telling David, this is your chance, this is your opportunity, go for it, and kill Shaul. Furthermore, another point is that not only is your enemy, but you're allowed to kill him halachically, because he's now a raidef. A raidef is someone who's chasing after someone else in order to kill them, and the halacha is that you are allowed to go ahead and kill the raidef. Either somebody else, a third party, right? A third party is allowed to kill the raidef, the chaser, or you could have the nirdef. The chasee himself can go ahead and protect himself by killing out the raidef.
Right. So right now they got Shaul. He's there.
Yeah, he's right there. He's with them in the cave. He's got no men protecting him.
Did Shaul realize that
he had no idea? He had no idea.
He didn't see them?
Did not see them. They're hiding in the back of a cave. He just went into the cave. He didn't even dream. Again, we pointed out before that David, he thought, Shaul thought David was going to be hiding way up in the high mountains. He would never dream that David is hiding right on the main road. It never occurred to him. Never crossed his mind. So he's now going to the bathroom, and he has no idea that David is lying a few feet from him.
Well, when they tell them now, your chance to kill him, wouldn't he have to appear to him and Shaul knows that that's him? I mean, he's not going to stab him in the back.
Why not?
I don't know.
When someone tells him, after you, you
they
get
telling
him first.
Are they telling him to stab him in the back?
Yeah.
Well, he's not
do even, whatever it takes to kill him.
He doesn't know if you're here or not.
Yeah. Luckily, he's allowed to kill Shaul. Shaul is a roi def. He's trying to chase him after David to kill him.
I'm just asking. But
yeah.
Shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah, that's the American policy.
You talk of Shaul's there doing his job, and you come up behind him. Or Shaul turns around, he sees who you are, then you kill him.
And it's too late already.
That's all I want to understand.
Right. They're not telling him, you don't have to appear to him, you just kill him on the spot. Yeah. So now...
Because of the next pasuk, that's why...
Right, so let's see what happens. Ve'akom David ve'ichor tzis kanafa me'ila shalashol balat. David went over and he cuts off a piece of Shaul's garment. Now, there seems to be a machlekes among the mefarshim, the commentators. What exactly was going on over here? Did David know that it was wrong to kill Shaul? And therefore, he instead cut off a piece of his garment? That's one pshat. The Radak seems to learn like that. Other Mefarshim seem to learn that, including the Mesudas David, that David HaMelech knew and he recognized that Shaul is still the Mashiach Hashem. He's still the king. He still was appointed. He was anointed by the Shem and the Mishcha. It's not my place to go ahead and kill him. It's not for me to do. However, the Malbim and the Elshich learn that David himself was not sure. He didn't know. On one hand, he said, listen, he might still be the Mashiach Hashem. He might still be the king. On the other hand, he's a Raidev. He's trying to kill me. So I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to do is. He has no idea. So what does he do? The Elshich says, anytime you have a situation where you're not sure if what you're going to do is an avera or a mitzvah. It happens a lot, right? What you're about to do, is it an avera or is it a mitzvah? It's very unclear. That's the biggest weapon of the Yetzer Hara, to make everything ambiguous.
And no, you don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do. Many times you don't know. Is this an avera or a mitzvah? I have no idea. So what do you do? How do you test it?
That's what I meant about...
Don't do anything.
When he does this, then Shaul knows... Who's doing this to him? He can't say he doesn't know who cut it off. He must have turned around.
Right, we're going to get to that. That's a good point. We're going to get to that. We're going to speak about that. So you're saying you don't do anything. Sheva al taisa. You still sit back and do nothing. But if you do that, you might be passing up a mitzvah. Might be a big mitzvah that you're doing over here. I don't know.
Well,
you don't know.
I know. I had a problem once in Kansipur.
Mm-hmm.
Working and there's a bird's nest there and eggs and all the whole nine yards. Hey, I'm not that well learned. I came to the rabbi, I asked him, Rabbi Siviak. He says, did you need that space right away? I says, no. He says, wait a week. The bird will fly away and the baby birds or whatever. Forget about it. You don't know what you're going to do. Don't do anything. You're better off.
Right. I hear. Okay. That's a good point. But Elshich says a very interesting point. He says that what you should do in such a situation is take a little step towards this action, whatever it is, and you should see how you feel. If you feel good about it, you think, oh, you know, I feel like I did a good thing, you didn't know it's a mitzvah. If you feel bad, your heart tells you that there's something wrong over here, you know it's an avera. And that's exactly the way David was testing the waters. He wasn't going to go ahead and just kill Shaul without knowing if it was a mitzvah or an avera. He went ahead and he cut off a piece of his garment. And now let's see the next pasuk. After he cut off the garment, David's heart told him he was doing something wrong.
Was he actually wearing this garment?
Yeah, he was wearing it.
Oh, did he put it aside, then go to the...
No, he was wearing it. Sounds like he was wearing it.
He's covered where he went.
Yeah, he covered himself at all times.
He might have been constipated. Let's see what he did. All right, yeah. Whatever,
that,
I don't know.
That has nothing to do with the story.
So the point is that the a pure heart will know that if this was the wrong thing to do, then he would feel it. And that's exactly how David felt. He knew the second he cut off the garment, he knew that there was something wrong and he should not be the one to kill Shaul. David is now speaking with great confidence. He tested the waters. He knows it's the wrong thing to do. He's telling his men, listen, it's a golden opportunity, but it's not for me to kill Mashiach Hashem. He was anointed by the Navi, by Shmuel. Hashem appointed him to be king. It's not for me to go ahead and kill him. Even though he's a Redef, you're right, but after all, he's Mashiach Hashem. And I cannot kill him. It seems like he literally had to force his men, he had to hold them back from going ahead and murdering Shaul on the spot. They were ready to go ahead without David's permission and kill him. They said, because the halacha is that even a third party is allowed to kill a Redef. Doesn't have to be the chasee. Even a third party is allowed to kill the chaser. So David's men were going to go ahead and kill Shaul on the spot. David had to literally hold them back. He used his words to hold his men back. He forced them literally to stay back. But in a son and El Shaul, he didn't let them to go ahead and kill Shaul. Shaul went on, he had no idea what was going on, he had no clue what grave danger his life was in. He leaves the cave and he goes on his business.
So then that answers whatever I asked before. He didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know.
Itaki didn't know. The whole thing, he didn't feel nothing. He didn't, when he cut off the thing, he probably didn't even feel it.
Yeah.
He just...
Well, he probably had like a long, you know, either
right,
cape
no,
or...
but I mean, he didn't realize that somebody cut his thing
right
there. Because if he realized it, he wouldn't have taken off. He's after him anyway.
Right.
You know, so something else would have happened.
We're going to see later on also exactly how it was very, very
okay.
Unclear.
That's
this is
okay.
To cut the garment, this is kind of test.
But it's just like
somewhere else, or this is kind of unique?
I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere else. The Al-Sheikh says this.
But it's mentioned somewhere. It means kind of general, you can cut to make, to after that, make some feeling it's wrong or not.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any other place that talks about it.
No, but this is kind of... He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
It means he knows if he cut, after that he not
right
to know what he's feeling.
Right.
But reader actually know about this test, cut.
Well, I'm saying you have to look in the commentators.
But for him,
when you read it, it's not clear.
But for him, he knows what he is doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is an avera? Did he commit an avera by cutting the?
So he actually Chazal say that David was punished for cutting off the garment of Shaul.
You're right. All right.
I mentioned this before, I believe, that his punishment was that later on when he got old,
he was
cold. Clothes would not warm him up. The only thing that would warm him up was body heat. That's why they had to hire Shunamis to be with him in bed. He was not married to her. He never had any relations with her, but she stayed with him in bed in order to keep him warm, because he was literally shivering, because his clothes would not keep him warm. That was a midah keneged midah, because he dared cut off a piece of garment of the king. So it does seem to be an aver on David's level, obviously. Pasuk test continues. Vayakom David acharechen v'yetzim min ha'ora. David got up afterwards. He left the cave. Vayikra acharei Shaul leimor. He cries out to Shaul. Shaul is already on the way. So David leaves the cave with his men. He calls Shaul and he says, Adoni Amelech. He calls him, Your Highness. Shaul turns back to see who's calling him. And David, meanwhile, bows down to Shaul. Why are you listening to the people, to your advisors that are saying that I am trying to go ahead and kill you? He says, look, I have your garment over here. I had a perfect opportunity to kill you easily. You had no idea. And I chose not to kill you. And I said, I should not be the one to kill Mashiach Hashem. Ve'ovi, he calls him my father. Chazal learned from here that a person is obligated to respect his father-in-law the same way he's obligated to respect his father. That, because we see over here that he calls him my father, even though he was only his father-in-law. He married Shaul's daughter.
What about the mother-in-law?
Mother-in-law? Chazal don't say that. Maybe you can learn Xer Shava. I don't know. Ve'avi re'ei gam re'ei. Look well. Ki kanaf me'ilcha biyadi. I have the piece of your garment. Ki b'karsi es kanaf me'ilcha. V'lei rakticha da re'ei ki ein biyadi ra u'pesha lecha tasiloch. V'ata tzayda es nafshi lakachta. He says, look, you are the only one who is trying to harm me. I'm not trying to harm you in any way. If I wanted to, I had the chance and I chose not to. I could have easily killed you, and yet I only cut off your garment. He says, Hashem should be the judge to see if you're doing the right thing. And when you're going to be killed, it's not going to be by me. The Malbim explains that this Mashal HaKadmoni is referring to Lemech. Lemech was, just like Cain killed Hevel, his descendant Lemech ended up killing him. He ended up killing Cain. So it says, we're going to see after, Mershoi Mitzaresha, it's referring to Cain. When Lemech, was the descendant of Cain, killed Cain, by mistake. That's Mershoi Mitzaresha, someone who is evil, from him will come more evil. And that's why the descendant of Cain ended up killing him. But I'm not a Rasha. I'm not going to be the one to go ahead and kill you, Shaul. It's going to be somebody else that's going to go ahead and kill you. Who are you chasing, Shaul HaMelech? You're chasing a dead dog. You're chasing a small black louse. What's it referring to? He's saying, listen, just like a dog is loyal to his master, so too, I, David, am loyal to you. But now I'm like a dead dog. Just like a dead dog cannot be loyal to you, so too I cannot be loyal to you now that I'm so far away, that I'm so distant from you because you were chasing me away. I can't be loyal to you anymore. I can't protect you. I can't guard you. I can't cheer you up like I used to be doing. I'm only one black louse. I have just like one black louse has very small amount of power. So to me, even though I have 600 men, I have a very small amount of power and I cannot do anything to you. That's what David is telling Shaul HaMelech. V'yah Hashem l'dayan v'shavot b'ini v'necha. Hashem will be the judge to judge between me and you. V'yere v'yare v'srivi v'shpateini miyadecha. Hashem will we'll make sure that I'm going to come out just, and you will not be able to capture me. As David finished speaking this speech, now Shaul breaks down in tears. He realized that David is right and that he is wrong. And he says, David, you're right. You're right. We're going to see right now. You are a more righteous person than me. You have done good to me. Malbim explains what is the good that Shaul HaMelech is referring to. He's referring to the good that David HaMelech did by killing Goliath the Plishti. By killing Goliath the Plishti and all the other Plishtim. Shaul made David kill 100 Plishtim and bring their foreskins to Shaul. So you went ahead and fought the battles that I was supposed to fight as king. And you went ahead and fought it instead of me. So you had done me a favor, and me, instead of the Shaul speaking, instead of repaying you your favor, I went ahead and I was chasing you in order to kill you. Now you've shown to me the truth. Now I finally realize that you have done good to me and I did not repay you the way I was supposed to. You were the only one who went ahead and sent your enemy, your most fierce enemy, you sent him on the way without harming him at all. Even though you had a chance to harm him, you still sent him off. And Hashem should pay you back just the way you paid me. This is the first time that Shaul is actually admitting to David that he, David, will be king. Now, how did Shaul know this? How did he realize? Until now, he was chasing him, he was trying to kill him. And all of a sudden, now he's admitting that David is supposed to be the next king? What happened? How was there such a major turn of events? So the Radak and other Mefarshim explain that Shmuel HaNavi told Shaul after he failed to kill out the nation of Amalek, he hinted to him that the person he tell him, just like a person will go ahead and tear off a piece of his garment, so too Hashem will tear off the kingship from you, Shaul. Meaning, Shmuel hinted to Shaul that the person who's going to cut off a piece of your garment is going to be the one to be the next king. And that's how Shaul now knew that David is clearly going to be the next king, because he now realized that the prophecy of Shmuel is being fulfilled. It's coming true. So he's now admitting publicly that David is going to be the next king over the Jewish people. He's now, he's forcing David to make a shavua, that he will not, just like he did not kill off Shaul, so too David is making a shavua that he will not kill off anyone from the house of Shaul. And we're going to see in the future prakim that David, in fact, did kill one of the descendants of Shaul, Mephibosheth. We're going to see, and he was punished for it. We're going to see in the future prakim. David makes the shavua, and he says, yes, I agree not to kill out anyone from your family. Shaul goes back home. Seems like nice and dandy, right? Now Shaul and David are best friends, and he's going to stop chasing him. However, two prakim later, as we're going to see in the next few weeks, Shaul begins chasing David again. How could that happen? David just proved to Shaul that he had a golden opportunity of killing him, and he passed it up. And Shaul himself admitted to David that he would be the king.
Yeah.
How could it be that now Shaul is turning, just two prakim later, he's turning against David and trying to kill him again? So the Gemara says that the one who turned the heart of Shaul was none other than his general, Avner ben Ner. Avner ben Ner told Shaul, listen, how do you know for sure that David was the one to cut off your garment? Maybe, as you were passing through the thorns, your garment happened to tear off by mistake. David found it, recognized that this is from your garment. Now he's putting up this whole show, making believe as if he was the one who cut off your garment when he had the chance to kill you. Now Shaul was not convinced. He did not listen to Avner. However, there was a small suffix in his heart that kind of sneaked in, and he even though he wasn't fully convinced by Avner, by his general, the suffix was still in his heart, and that affected him. It didn't happen right away. It took some time, but eventually it affected him to the degree that he started chasing David again. That's really one of the main tools of the Yetzer Hara, to put a little suffix in your heart. I'll say maybe it's a little different. Maybe it's not the way you think it is.
Grows like a snowball.
Right, exactly. And then it becomes bigger and bigger, and finally Shaul is convinced to kill David again. Okay, so it's almost time for Marv. We're just going to end with one more point. Rav Shlomo Shvadron asked the following question. He says, why is it that David went ahead and just cut off the the garment of Shaul? Now, we mentioned the Alshech before, that he was really trying to test and see if this was the right thing to do or not. But that's one pshat. The Rav Shlomo Shvadron learns that David really did have the opportunity to kill Shaul. And he's asking, so let's say you don't want to kill Shaul because you don't know if it's the right thing, right? You're not sure if it's the right thing to kill him or not. Why do you only cut off his garment, which can easily be misread, just like Avner explained it, that it just got cut off by the thorns and David found it? Why didn't he go ahead and actually capture Shaul? Remember, Shaul was all by himself. He had no men with him. Capture the king. You've got 600 men with you. Capture him. And then bring him out hostage. Put a knife to his throat. They didn't have guns then. Can't get put a gun to his head. Put a knife to his throat. And that's how you can prove to Shaul, listen, I have the opportunity to kill you. I did not kill you. I brought you back to your army. Why didn't David do that? That's a much better way, much more effective way of proving to Shaul that he's actually innocent. So Shlomo Shvadron says that David actually, he was contemplating doing that. However, he knew that if he would do that, even though it would have been a much more effective way, it would have been very degrading to the king. And he was not prepared to humiliate Shaul in such a way in front of his whole army by holding him hostage, even though it was going to prove his point. David HaMelech was a big tzaddik, and even though he knew it was his great opportunity, and he had that possibility, he chose not to because he did not want to embarrass Shaul. Okay, we'll stop here.